Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. Good morning, everybody. This is Up and Adam. I'm Adam Epstein. AWOD Weekend Radio. As always, you know the number, 1-800-636-1067. Got my guy Danny in here producing with me today. There's so much to talk about, guys. I mean, you've got the NBA playoffs. I'm all excited for that. You got the Phoenix Suns making big noise in the Western Conference. This is, you know, something I talked about all season long. Is that's probably the hungriest team in the NBA after going undefeated in the bubble and not making the playoffs last year. So you gotta love what they're doing, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and so forth. The French Open, incredible match yesterday. Rafael Nadal against Novak Djokovic. It only went four sets, but it felt like the longest match ever. That third set, which went to a tiebreaker at 6-6, and Djokovic ended up winning, was over an hour and a half. There were so many deuce points. They went back-to-back, incredible rallies. I mean, we really saw the best of this generation of tennis at their peak, really. I mean, it was unbelievable tennis. I know, you know, Nadal and Federer and Djokovic have played each other in the past and had incredible matches, but man, maybe it was the fact that it was on clay, and Rafael Nadal is just unbeatable on clay for the most part, but Djokovic brought it to him and took it to him, and he overpowered him. He had this incredible leaping backhand that he hit in the sweet spot every single shot. Got to talk about that later in the show. You know, if there's big news in the tennis world, I have to discuss it. The Wizards, it seems like there was a report from Quentin Mayo that the Wizards are looking to bring back Scott Brooks. The Wizards are the champions of mediocrity in the NBA, and looks like they're going to continue with it. You know, I put out a tweet yesterday that the Wizards fans were basically saying, look, we tried this with Bradley Beal and John Wall when we had a good run and we lost to the Celtics. We can't just run it back. And then Tommy Shepard comes out in the post-game press conference after the season and says, we are not a team that's built to just run it back. And then Scott Brooks is, you know, quoted saying, hey, we can't just run it back. We've got to make some major moves. And then Russell Westbrook's basically screaming at the top of his lungs, run that effort back! He just wants to run it back. I don't know why he has this obsession with Scott Brooks. Is it the Westbrook-Scott Brooks connection? I don't understand it. Those guys are like BFFs, and he won't let him go. I mean, it's just driving me crazy. The Wizards need to move on from Scott Brooks, and apparently it's not going to happen. I got to get your guys' take on this because I'm ready to give up on the Wizards. Ted Leonsis obviously does not want to win a championship. He's okay with being the 8 seed in the playoffs. The 8 seed. The 8 seed. That's okay with him. It's so frustrating. The Washington Nationals, 8 games under 500. Max Scherzer has the lowest ERA and whip of his career. Should they consider trading him? We'll discuss that later in the show. I have to give credit to Simone Biles. She won the U.S. Gymnastic Championships, become the first woman with 7 national titles. Guys, I watched this last week. She performed something that's never been done before, and so they call it the Biles. They had to name it after her. She's so amazing. She does so many flips. It seems physically impossible. The way she's able to torque her body around while in the air, basically floating like a superhero, and then she sticks the landing. It's incredible. Credit to her for sure, 100%. The European Cup in soccer got started. The Euro Cup 2020, because they're making it up from last summer with COVID canceling it, got underway yesterday. It took place in Rome with Italy against Turkey being the first matchup. Italy won 3-0, and they've really changed their style now. They've always been a defensive squad, going back to when they won the World Cup, 12 years ago, and they are playing this different style now, and it's more attacking, it's more possession ball, and it really worked for them against Turkey. We'll see how it does against tougher competition. Today in sports. So, I mentioned the European Cup. We've got Wales against Switzerland. That starts at 9 a.m. just about to kick off here. Denmark against Finland at 12 noon, and Belgium versus Russia at 3 p.m. In the MLB, I mentioned the Nationals. They have 2 7-inning doubleheader games today. I was supposed to go to the game on Thursday. That rained out, and so they will make up that today at 2:05 p.m. That'll be Fetty against Guzman, and then 7:15 is the second matchup, and Joe Ross will be on the mound for the Washington Nationals. The French Open final for the women's takes place this morning, and guys, I mentioned I love tennis, but I actually have no idea who the two Russian women are playing in the finals. I wish I could tell you who they are, a little bit about them. It's not, you know, some of the familiar faces or names I've seen. Should I even try, Danny, should I even try to pronounce these names? Or is it just going to, you know, just be a butcher?
I think you should skip it because I'd probably butcher it too. I'd have respect for anybody that could pronounce those bad boys.
Yeah. I will tell you, it's 4 syllables for the first woman, 5 syllables for the second woman. It's incredible. Krejcikova, Pavlyuchenkova?
Not bad. Not bad.
Why? It could have just been Ovechkin. You know, that could have been easy. In soccer, I mentioned last week on my show, it's the summer of soccer. Last week, you had USA versus Mexico. That was an incredible match that went to extra time. I know a lot of people were talking about it throughout the week as it was one of the greatest soccer matches, you know, America's played in a long time. Well, Copa America is the, you know, the competition between the South American teams. And listen to this, Danny. Brazil is getting ready to open their tournament on Sunday. Their opponent, Venezuela, just had a confirmed 10 positive COVID cases, which includes 5 players, and now they're waiting for a second round of testing. So, I mean, that's going to ruin the whole tournament.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine they play after that, right?
Right.
I mean, I can't imagine that they're actually going to get out on the pitch. You know, I haven't heard you mention the USA-Mexico game from earlier this week, although you've been on the air all week, so I'm sure you had the chance to break it all down, but that was a great match.
It was so incredible, and my biggest thing about that was the crowd. I mean, it was bad. Like, so that everyone knows, you know, that game took place in Denver, Colorado, and, you know, got the high altitude there. But most of it was like 80% fans of Mexico, and they started throwing beer and objects onto the pitch when USA took the lead.
Right. And that's, you know, there's no place for that in any sort of live sporting events. I was just about to say, it's great to have fans back, but it sounds like maybe some folks getting a little bit too excited. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It got ugly quick. But it was a huge win for America. Christian Pulisic was quoted after the game saying, you know, we needed this after, you know, not making the World Cup last time around. You see, Italy didn't make the World Cup last time around either. Both teams, Italy and America, had to kind of change the way they build up their youth, go with a new manager, a new vision, and it's worked out nicely for both teams. And so USA plays in the Gold Cup, and that takes place in, I believe, just a week. And so that was kind of the primer for that. And so I'm telling you guys, there is so much soccer this summer. It's incredible. And it started yesterday with Turkey against Italy, and it will continue today. And what I am really looking forward to is what they're calling the group of death. Have you heard about this, Danny, at all?
I haven't, although I remember another group of death from a few years ago.
Right. So the group of death is basically a group in which a big tournament in which, so the way it works is it starts with, you know, 16 teams usually or 32 teams in the World Cup, and each group is broke down by 4 teams. Each team plays each other once, and then the top 2 advance. Well, there's a group of death because you have 4 teams and only 2 of them can advance. That is, you know, that means when you've got some of the best teams in the world going at each other, how the hell are you supposed to decide who's going to win that, right? And so this year with the European Cup, we have another group of death, and it is incredible. It's one of the toughest groups of death I've ever seen here. And basically, it is the group F. So you won't be able to see this until I believe they start on Tuesday. But it is Portugal, who won the Euro Cup in 2018. Everyone knows Cristiano Ronaldo. They've got a strong squad besides him. You have France, who just won the World Cup. You have Germany, who's maybe the greatest soccer nation of all time. And you have Hungary. So of those 4 teams, only 2 of them will automatically advance into the next round. And then a 3rd team will make it if they put up enough points in those competitions. But when you're playing against those teams, I mean, you might get knocked out. I mean, this could turn ugly for one of those teams really quickly. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. And if you want to chime in at all throughout the show, you can hit me up on Twitter at AWOD Radio. It's an open show. Ron Rivera mentioned that there's a QB competition here in Washington now. I know a lot of fans were a little upset about that. Some people felt like, you know, Fitzpatrick deserves this job. I know there's also Heinicke supporters out there. I don't know that there's any, like, Kyle Allen stands, but it'd be interesting to hear from any of them. And then, of course, I'm going to do a gambling segment on the show this week where I just pick an insane parlay. It's going to come from tonight's matchup between the LA Clippers and the Utah Jazz. And look, the LA Clippers are against the brink right now. They are down 2-0 again in the second series of this playoffs, and I think they're going to come out hot and get the win. So my parlay there will include a lot of Clippers players. We will see if Paul George can come out to play, and, of course, Kawhi Leonard. So lots to talk about on the show today, 1-800-636-1067. I got some big guests coming up. We got Ryan Bailey to discuss this European Cup with me. You can follow him on Twitter at Ryan J. Bailey. He is a writer, broadcaster, and video producer all around soccer. He works for Charlotte FC. My guy Logan Paulson will join me to discuss the Washington football team at 11 a.m. and Chase Hughes to break down the Washington Wizards at 11:30. Will they move on from Scott Brooks? Will he stay here as the head coach? What other offseason news are there to discuss with the Washington Wizards? And, of course, we'll go around the NFL. Last week, it broke live on my show that Julio Jones joined the Titans. He was out there with them in OTAs this week. And, oh, my gosh, he is incredible. He's just so big, so fast. He was doing this drill out there that I know a lot of people were going crazy with his footwork. And they're so talented. And now it brings me to the question of who is the best wide receiver core in the NFL. I know earlier this week or last week, Jarvis Landry said that it's him and Odell Beckham in Cleveland. And there, I was talking about it with my friends. There's quite a few now all-star wide receiver tandems in the NFL. So we'll get to that later on in the show. Lots to discuss. Again, I'm at AWOD Radio on Twitter. We're going to take a quick break here. Don't go anywhere.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Here we go on 106.7 The Fan. I'm Adam Epstein. It's Saturday morning, June 12th. And I just tweeted, who is your pick for the European Cup 2020 that is taking place right now? It just is underway, the second match of the tournament. And so I will update you guys throughout the show there on winners. And of course, I'm going to give you my picks right now. So if you're a gambling man, it is time to take out your FanDuel app. And we're talking about Euro Cup 2020, and France, guys, is chasing history, trying to compete the double-double, which is a World Cup championship and a European championship. They did it in 1998 and in 2000. Can they do it again in 2018 and 2020/2021? 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Paul Pogba was quoted saying, the fact that France are unbeaten when he starts alongside N'Golo Kante of Chelsea is, he quotes saying, I hope that this invisibility will continue. It is a pleasure to be by his side. It is an honor for me to play with such a player. Kante, of course, the World Cup champion, this year's Champions League champion for Chelsea, and he's trying to get another trophy with France. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Let's go to the phone lines here. We got Vic in Silver Spring. What's going on, Vic?
Hey, what's going on, AWOD? How are you?
I'm good, man. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, man. Thanks. Yeah, I was listening up. I just wanted to call in. And so the Euro changed the last tournament. There's actually now 24 teams as opposed to 16. So the top two, you're correct, they do advance. But then the fourth best third place finishers
right.
actually advance as well.
Right. And then with the group of death with that, though, if you got like Germany, if they lose their first two matches, they're not even going to be able to finish with enough points in third place to advance, right?
Well, not necessarily. So I am Portuguese American, so I'm glad for this rule because Portugal, the last time around, got three ties in the three games and actually advanced because of goal differential, and then they went on to win the actual Euro, beating France in France. So I think like the golden number for a third place team is probably finishing at that four or five points.
Yeah.
But. Like Portugal did, you know, they actually made it, through with three ties and went on to win it.
Yeah, they must have had some goals scored there to be able to advance. But Portugal's got, of course, they have Cristiano Ronaldo, and now they've got a young group of guys playing with them. You got Bernardo Silva, João Felix, Diego Jota. What do you think Portugal's chances are?
Yeah, so obviously I'm biased, right? But, yeah. I think Portugal's, like, under 23 core is really built for the next 2 to 6 years. We're a lot more than just Cristiano Ronaldo. And I think we're going to be good. I think we get out of the group. I think a team like Germany has a huge advantage because they play all three games at home. Yeah. This year, the Euro, like, it's played in 11 cities. And a lot of countries are built like Italy. They get all the games at home. Germany gets pretty much all. I'm talking about the group games. Yeah. England, they get the final four. But I see Portugal going through. I think if you can get through the group of death, once you get to the knockout stage, you know, you face two out of the top five or six teams in the in the tournament. And I could see Portugal making a run. I'm not going to say that they're going to go back to back. But I could see them making a good run down to the quarterfinals or semifinals.
And Vic, you've been just spoiled by being a Cristiano Ronaldo fan your entire life. I mean, that's just so incredible. You've seen him, rise to fame to get to the top of world football. And I'm guessing, of course, you put him atop of Lionel Messi. What's it been like watching his career?
Right. So that's the, of course you had to, bring up the old Ronaldo Messi debate, right?
Yeah.
The one thing that I tell my daughters who are obviously Portuguese American, I don't ever answer who's better because they don't play the same position. So it'd
right.
be comparing apples to oranges. You know, they're two of the four best players ever to play the game, right? So my four, of course, would be Cristiano Ronaldo, Messi, Pele, and Maradona, right? No question there.
Oh man, I'm putting Zidane in my top four.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Zidane is a wonderful player. And of course, I think it's probably easier to do a top 10 because there are a lot of players like Johan Cruyff and
right.
Beckenbauer that we could throw in there. But the one thing that I'll say, the difference between Ronaldo and Messi are the two trophies that Ronaldo has with his country, right? So he won the Euro, right? Which to me, the Euro is probably harder than winning the World Cup because when the World Cup is played, there's 32 teams. So it gets a little bit watered down with some of the countries that just make it by winning their region. And then Portugal won the inaugural Nations League Cup, right? So that's two titles there. And until Messi's able to raise the trophy, I'm going to go ahead and just give that nod to Cristiano Ronaldo based on the country title.
I love it. Appreciate the call, man. Always fun talking soccer with a fan. Welcome to the AWOD Army, Vic. Here are some of the biggest picks to win the European Cup. You've got Belgium, England, France, Germany, Italy, Portugal, and Spain. England have one of the youngest squads in the competition, but here's the thing. Most of their players get regular minutes in huge competitions in the Champions League, in the Premier League. You've got Raheem Sterling, Mason Mount, just to name a few, Harry Kane, their striker. We mentioned Portugal and how they've got a great cast of youngsters alongside Cristiano Ronaldo. Bruno Fernandes of Manchester United is playing incredible soccer as well. Germany's manager Joachim Löw said that he's stepping down after the tournament. So can he go out on top? They are led by Bayern Munich's 2020 Champions League winning team that has several of the starters from the team. Joshua Kimmich, Sule, goalkeeper Manuel Neuer, Thomas Müller, Serge Gnabry, Leroy Sané. I mean, it's basically half the roster is Bayern Munich. Of course, that is the best team in Germany. And joining them is Mats Hummels, Chelsea's Kai Havertz, Ilkay Gundogan of Manchester City, and of course, their leader, Toni Kroos, is back. Spain right now is unfortunately dealing with a bit of a COVID outbreak, as well as I mentioned earlier, the Venezuela was dealing with that in their tournament. Sergio Busquets is at home. He's one of their captains, recovering from COVID and in isolation. The team right now is also unable to train just a few days before their first match. They've got a lot of young talent, but they're probably going to be overmatched without their captain and star Sergio Ramos in the back. But they're one of the teams that could surprise. Every year, though, in this competition, there is a surprise team. Like 2018, Iceland defeated England and broke all the hearts of those in the United Kingdom. Well, here are five teams that I'm going to name that could be in that category. Switzerland, very talented. Denmark, they're playing right now. Wales, also playing right now with Gareth Bale. And Croatia and Turkey. So there are some teams that could, you know, really surprise you in this year's tournament. Everyone was talking about Italy yesterday with their victory over Turkey and how they just looked completely different. They've got a new manager, Mancini, and his vision of football is completely different from the last style that I mentioned. You know, it's not as much defensive. They've got these incredible three midfielders, one of them Jorginho. And they worked the ball around, and it's a different type of soccer, and it was very successful for them in their first matchup. France is basically my pick. I just think they're so talented. They've got stars around the league, around the world. Kylian Mbappe is one of the best players in the in the world right now. And my favorite team to watch, though, is my guy Eden Hazard and Belgium, Kevin De Bruyne. Part of that team as well. They're super talented. So lots to look forward to. And as you know, we just talked about earlier with my caller, the group of death is you must watch that. And that starts on Tuesday. I believe it gets going with France versus Germany. So, oh my gosh, so much good soccer to talk about here throughout the summer. I'm going to be on Saturday mornings throughout the month of June. So, you know, I'm going to get my show started with telling you guys the latest on all the soccer tournaments and competitions. We are 24 minutes into Wales and Switzerland. It is 0-0 the score. I'm Adam Epstein. Don't change that dial.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. I'm Adam Epstein. This is AWOD Weekend Radio. I want to get started here with this segment by talking about Novak Djokovic and his historic career And I really thought that Rafael Nadal was going to win that match yesterday. But Djokovic, he just stepped up and stopped Nadal from making history. Novak now puts himself back in the convo for greatest tennis player of all time. He's just two Grand Slams behind Federer with 20 and Nadal with 20, and he's younger than both. He's truly, you know, this is the greatest generation of tennis, and he is probably one or two on that list. It's incredible. All three of them just have been so historic here for basically the last 20 years. And that last yesterday, that was one of the greatest four-set matches of all time. And, you know, the most incredible thing about Djokovic is the fact that he came into this era at one point. You know, you had the two undisputed GOATs of Federer and Nadal, and not only has he managed to compete with them, he's rightfully, you know, dethroned them by winning almost as much Grand Slams as them in a shorter amount of time. And if you beat Rafael Nadal at Roland Garros, unfortunately for Djokovic, though, you go on to lose the final. Rafael Nadal, 105-2 in the French Open. Robin Soderling lost to Roger Federer in the final after defeating Rafael Nadal in 2009. And Djokovic, after defeating him in 2015, lost to Stan Wawrinka in the 2015 final. So we'll see if that, you know, continues tomorrow as he takes on Stefanos Tsitsipas in the final of the French Open. Because I guess the way it works is you just run out of energy after defeating Nadal. And look, my favorite tennis player of this generation is by far Roger Federer. He's so classy. He's got this unbelievable backhand slice. He's such a great guy. He just dominates. He knows how to turn from defense to offense so quickly. He can make anyone run around the court. But Djokovic has a lifetime winning record against both Roger and Rafa, and just beat Nadal in Paris. I mean, it seems like GOAT material to me, if you ask me now, right? Especially if he gets the 19th Grand Slam. 34-year-old Novak Djokovic going for Grand Slam number 19 on Sunday, then hopefully number 20 in the next Grand Slam against Wimbledon. And, you know, then he could take the lead in the U.S. Open. It would be incredible. And I just, watching these two matches, so you had the semifinals of Alexander Zverev against Stefanos Tsitsipas, right? That match was basically boring compared to Nadal against Djokovic. The talent gap between the big three of Federer, Nadal, and Djokovic and, you know, the rest of all of tennis is so incredible. You got the amount of shots per rally, it's not even close. The amount of winners hit, not even close. The amount of jaw-dropping points, I mean, I'm telling you, I watched both of the finals. I almost fell asleep watching Zverev against Tsitsipas. The other, I couldn't take my eyes off the TV. Just the gap is so huge, and this golden era of tennis, it's astonishing. But, you know, Tsitsipas does have a chance to prove me wrong on Sunday as he takes on Djokovic. And Djokovic has been number one for a record total of 324 weeks. He finished as the year ends number one on six different occasions, tying the open era record with Pete Sampras, one of the greatest Americans of all time. And, you know, Djokovic has won 18 Grand Slams, as I mentioned. He's also won 83 ATP singles titles overall. And he began his career in 2003, and it was really 2008 when he won the Australian Open, where he stepped into the spotlight. And then since then, 2011, 2015, and this year, he's just basically won every Grand Slam, three out of the four. He's unbeatable. He really is unbeatable. He just doesn't make any mistakes. And that was that was Rafa Nadal's issue yesterday, is Nadal was missing a lot of backhands. Nadal had a few forehands and a few plays at the net where he just had an easy volley and the nerves got the best of him. And so, you know, Djokovic, again, I got to mention this, the incredible leaping backhand. It was like something I hadn't seen before. He was literally taking off the ground to hit this backhand and still had the power to hit it past Nadal. He hit it in the sweet spot every single shot. He out-hustled Nadal on a few plays. He was way more consistent. And he's one of the best offensive players in tennis, right? While also being an incredible defensive player. He's similar to Andre Agassi, the way he can chase down everything like a wall. You know, every time you slam it, he's there. He's right on top of it. He's going to get it back. And if he can't get to it, he's going to chase it down. And we just had so many incredible plays where he would chip Nadal, and Nadal would have to run to the back of the court and hit it. And then he would hit it, you know, a drop shot at the net, and Nadal would have to run back up. I mean, it was just one of the most incredible tennis matches I've ever watched. I was just obsessed with it. I know a lot of people on Twitter were telling me they were obsessed with it as well, because it was just incredible, high level. I mean, we're talking about, like, this was basically like watching LeBron James play Michael Jordan in one-on-one. It really was the greatest of all time, because nobody is better than Rafa Nadal on clay. Like, Danny, you're with me. When you see him on clay, he was 105-2 going into that match.
I know. It's amazing, too, especially, like you said, the way that he started. He started with an early lead on Djokovic. And Novak, I think it just speaks to how good he is to beat Nadal, essentially on what I think you could probably call his home court, right? Just because right. It's clay. I mean, what do you think it even is about Nadal that makes him so good on clay? Is it just having extra balance?
It's his speed and his ability to hit sliding shots.
Yeah.
And Djokovic did that well, you know, also, because clay is so hard. With tennis, you know, it's people think with tennis, and a lot of amateurs make this mistake where you just run to the ball and hit it as you're running, right? But if you know, if you play any kind of real tennis, you know, you have to run. You have to get there in time to chop your feet, set up your shot. Well, on the French Open, it's completely different. You try to chop your feet, you're going to end up doing the splits, right? So you kind of have to do a sliding move as you're hitting it and keep your momentum. And Nadal's, his forehand, of course, I said this last week, the fact that he's lefty, he gets to incredible different angles that, you know, right-handers can't really return. And Djokovic, though, he just did such a good job with his balance.
You play tennis yourself, right, Adam? Mm-hmm. So what have you played on clay surface before?
Yeah.
So that's kind of the way that it feels. Like,
it's the way that it's so much fun because of that, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're sliding all over the place. You're getting dirty. You know, the ball bounces a little differently, a little slower at times on the clay. And then, you know, obviously sometimes you hit it and the clay's going to bounce up a little bit, right?
Yeah.
But it's that I've never played on grass. That would be my favorite place to play tennis. But growing up, they have it's not the red clay that they have the French Open, but in Bethany Beach they have like 30 clay courts. And growing up, that's where I would play.
Oh, cool! See, I was gonna ask where exactly is a clay court, because I've never actually even seen one. So.
Yeah, you got to go to like a fancy tennis
have
place.
To check it out at some point.
It's so much fun. And again, like, Djokovic was so good in that match because, like you said, Nadal took a lead and then it changed. And then in that third set, so Danny, the hardest thing in tennis, obviously, is to break your opponent.
Mm-hmm.
He's serving at 130 miles an hour. He could easily ace you. But in that third set, Djokovic broke Nadal to make it 3-2. Nadal broke back to make it 3-3. Djokovic broke him to make it 4-3. Nadal said, I'm going to break you right back. It's 4-4. They went back and forth until it was 6-6. Nobody could hold serve. And then Djokovic won in the tiebreak. I mean, that third set, again, it was an hour and a half, one set. Sometimes a whole match is an hour and a half.
Right.
And so really, and the biggest thing about that, like I'm saying, it was like Nadal would serve and they would hit it back and forth 25 to 30 times.
Right. You see a lot of aces, I feel like, in the men's game, right, versus the women's game. So, again, I just think it speaks to the greatness of both players. Like you were saying, it's what makes it an all-time matchup between two of maybe the two greatest players of all time, depending on how you break it down. Federer, though, without him, how about this? They put all three of those guys, Djokovic, Nadal, and Federer, on the same part of the bracket.
Yeah, last night, or, you know, yesterday afternoon's game should have been a final.
Yeah.
And that is tennis's mistake, and they've got to do something about it, because, like I'm saying, is anybody going to care about, you know, Tsitsipas, the young Greek player, you know, with great hair, the women love him, but he's going to probably get smoked by Djokovic.
Probably.
Even though I did say, and I'll say it again, the trend is that anyone who defeats Nadal in French Open does go on to lose the final.
Is that right?
Yeah, so that's, you know, but again, it's only happened twice. You know, it barely ever happens. 1-800-636-1067 at AWOD Radio is the number. I just got a tweet here from Dan. He says, what is often forgotten in the big three slams is the tally, is that Novak won all of his slams while Roger and Rafa were in their prime. Roger won his first 5 and 6 against Murat Safin and likes like that. Rafa has 13 out of 20 at the single slam. So, at one single slam being the French Open. So he is right about that. Like, you know, by the time Djokovic came in, it was harder for him because Rafa and Nadal were already leading tennis and everybody knew that they were the guy to beat. And Djokovic And, you know, he got a lot of backlash because as he was rising, he kind of did these impersonations. Did you ever see this clip?
I don't think so.
He did impersonations of all the greatest tennis players of that time, like Andy Roddick, Andy Murray, even Nadal and Federer. And people kind of said he was a clown for that and gave, because he was really making fun of them. I mean, he was. So Nadal does this thing. I was watching it. These guys are so good at tennis. They're so perfectionists. Every shot they make is so perfect. They have to go through the same routine before every point. It's like they have, you know, OCD, right? And they're just so perfect, they have to do it exactly the same. So Nadal has to pick his butt, touch both of his shoulders, wipe his nose, use his sweatband to wipe his eye and his eyebrows, right? And then he'll hit his serve.
I can picture
and
his
so
routine now.
Djokovic was just like obsessively picking his butt in this video, like sniffing his nose, going back to pick his butt again. He was just completely clowning Nadal. This happened like, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, but he got a lot of backlash from that. But I thought it was hilarious. So 1-800-636-1067 is the number. I'm going to take a quick break here on The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. I'm Adam Epstein. Time to shake it up real quick here. As you guys know, I am the voice of the millennials, and this is a little 90s segment for you guys out there. My guy Danny, also a 90s baby. And Danny, what if I had told you in the year 2001, you know, I'm sure you were like me, and you were obsessed with, you know, Mary-Kate and Ashley videos, right? I mean, those girls knew how to solve a crime.
Fair enough.
That 20 years later, in 2021, they are not even close to the most popular Olsen sister.
Not even close, man.
I mean, it's insane, the turnaround. Elizabeth Olsen has just leaped over them. Like we were talking about, you had Djokovic coming after Federer and Nadal. Mary-Kate and Ashley were Federer and Nadal. They were at their peak when we were growing up. Now Elizabeth. Popovich is a knockout, and she's world famous.
Yeah, here she comes too, right? The Scarlet Witch herself. She's absolutely killing it. And what's funny to me, Adam, I think a lot of people didn't even realize until like the last year that she was Mary-Kate and Ashley's sister.
Oh,
she's actually younger than Mary-Kate.
Right, and here's the funny thing is, I guarantee you there are kids out there that are, you know, 20 or 21. They don't even know Mary-Kate and Ashley. The only Olsen they know is Elizabeth from WandaVision. Speaking of WandaVision, so that came out. Obviously, then there was Captain America, Winter Soldier. Now Loki is out. Have you seen it yet, Dan?
I sure have. I would never miss a second of any Marvel content, my friend.
See, I'm a little behind, all right? So I have not seen it yet. So it's on my plan of things to do this weekend.
You gotta watch it. It's so good. By the way, it shattered every record Disney Plus had for a Marvel opener.
Really?
Yep. It's already broken.
Give me a little teaser.
Little teaser. Okay, well, it's gonna pick up right where it left off, right? Endgame, we see Loki pick up the Tesseract.
Yeah, yeah.
You're gonna find out exactly where he went and exactly what happens.
Oh my gosh.
And they're gonna bring him to his knees in the first episode. It's a very emotional episode.
Wow.
It's good. Very good.
And what is it? Tom Hiddleston?
Hiddleston.
Hiddleston. He's one of the greatest actors. You know, I love him. He was in this one show called The Night Manager.
Oh, okay.
You got to see that.
I'll have to check it out.
It's like an incredible like crime thriller. But like speaking of, you know, non-sports things, have you heard of this Battle of the Platforms that is going to take place today? I guess I talked about it last week. Celebrity boxing is back. You had Logan Paul against Mayweather. A lot of people complained it was basically a waste of money. But there's more battles today. It's the Battle of the Platforms. It's TikTokers against YouTubers. It's basically hot guys battling each other. You know, good for you. You're famous for being good looking, but you're not really talented. You're just attractive for doing stupid TikTok dance.
Yeah.
Like when I get on TikTok, it's nothing but girls shaking their booty. And so I know when girls get on TikTok, it's guys like Bryce Hall, who's playing in this battle, this boxing match today, just like standing in front of the camera, licking his thumb, right? Ooh.
I guess you and I aren't quite good enough looking to get up on it, right?
Yeah.
We got a couple faces for radio.
We do have faces for radio. But it's funny because, so it's a bunch of TikTokers, YouTubers. I've never heard of most of them. But it ends with Bryce Hall against Austin McBroom. And I just think that's the funniest thing because when I, so I went to VCU, we're both Richmond guys. Austin McBroom was a basketball player for the St. Louis, what is St. Louis, Elephants. No, they're not the Elephants. They have an elephant as a mascot. Help me out here.
The Billiken. Yeah. Took me a second, too.
Yeah. But Austin McBroom was on the team, and I just think it's so funny because I was doing play-by-play for VCU basketball for Rams Review, and I had this, it's a famous call between me and my friend James. So we would do, you know, we would do a little bit of research, but, you know, we were young broadcasters growing, and so when we were doing the other team's starting lineup, we really didn't know much about them. But I just had this thing where I said, Austin McBroom, he's a 5'10 short guy. And so, like, I always remembered that name, and then I looked at it, so after his career in basketball came to an end, I guess he got married, and he had a kid, and he started doing YouTube videos with his wife, and now he's super YouTube famous. And look, I don't care about it. Will you be watching? Do you care about this celebrity boxing craze?
I definitely do not, but I did hear yesterday on the Junkies, I heard EB breaking this fight down. Bryce Hall, the exact one that you're talking about, apparently Hall, whoever picked it up, right, whoever's giving these odds, it's not the main FanDuel's, DraftKings, or stuff like that, but apparently Hall was the favorite, and all the money went towards McBroom, because he's a former athlete. He's actually competed before at a pretty high level, so if I had to put money, I guess it would be him.
Yeah.
Take down Hall.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, Bryce Hall is just a good-looking guy. No talent. You know what he can do? He can dance to these trends on TikTok. But speaking of celebrity boxing, incredible. Last night, I didn't watch it, but I saw the highlights. Lamar Odom knocked out Aaron Carter. And I'm just talking about people that used to be big. Like, growing up, Aaron Carter, I was a big fan. When he dropped that song, How I Beat Shaq, I listened to that on repeat. You know, on my little, like, one song device that I had before an iPad.
He ascended quickly, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, and he was another guy that during our childhood was all sorts of popular. I did see that last night. He fought Lamar Odom. Boxing is strange, man, because it's all about these celebrity fights.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it, but Lamar Odom was wearing these baggy-ass shorts. Like, you could see his butt hanging out. And he Neither of them had technique, but Lamar knocked him out. I mean, he really didn't have to land that many of them for it to work.
We see how much bigger he was than Aaron Carter.
Yeah,
at least taller.
Oh, yeah. And bigger. I mean, Aaron Carter's had, like, definitely has had drug issues. He's a very skinny guy now.
What? Lamar Odom was on the brink of death. He's had his own drug issues. But, I can't imagine the reach advantage. Imagine trying to hit someone like Lamar Odom when you're that much shorter than him.
Right. Well, you know, it would be similar to if Kevin Durant and P.J. Tucker got into a fight. Because Durant is so much bigger. And P.J. Tucker and Durant looked like they were going to start kissing on the court the other night. They got so close to each other. KD's bodyguard came on the court. I've never seen that before. I mean, it was unheard of.
I know. The bodyguard coming onto the court was something different because it was...
I mean, we see this in the NBA all the time, right? It didn't seem like it was extra or anything. I know there's a little bit of tension between those guys as the playoffs and whatnot, but yeah, it was strange.
They were real close. KD's kind of a wuss, to be honest. I used to love him, man. Like, I've been saying for years I want him to come to Washington. Now I'm kind of done with that. And I heard him. He literally was in an interview. Danny, this might tilt you because it drove me crazy. He said when he went to the Warriors... He didn't know those guys. He wasn't friends with them. And when he got to Oakland, he felt like he was in Southeast D.C. driving around the streets.
Insulted. How dare he compare
Oakland? Why not just come to D.C. if you wanted to be near your hometown, wanted to be something that seemed like your hometown?
I've heard him before talk about how he actually wanted to play away from his hometown. I don't know. It's impossible to get into his mind exactly why he feels the way that he does.
Right, because he thinks everyone's going to be hitting him up for tickets.
Exactly. I mean, he's a strange dude. Right. I mean, he's very.
He can't say no.
He can't say no. He can't not respond to people on Twitter.
Right. I mean, he's got to make a fake Twitter account.
Exactly.
That's why I think there's nobody stopping the Brooklyn Nets this season because he's just got so many chips on his shoulder. He knows he's being clowned by everyone in media. You know, I'm not the only one that is calling KD a bum.
Not at all. I definitely think Brooklyn is the team to beat right now, especially if they're at full tilt, full clip. They are unstoppable. And maybe it's Phoenix, who has a ton of momentum right now. They can stop them in the finals, but both teams got to get there.
Yeah, absolutely. We got an NBA segment coming on later in the show. But joining me next is Ryan Bailey to discuss the ongoing European Championship, the Euro Cup 2020. And as I mentioned, right now it is halftime, Wales against Switzerland 0-0. So I'm going to discuss all that and more next with Ryan Bailey.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.